This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Brian Fernandez, Tan Chung Han, myself, Sherrod Kutin, with the top business stories of the day. Singapore's sovereign wealth fund, a government investment company, or GIC, has warned investors about market risk and complacency. GIC's chief executive officer, Lim Chow Kiat, says investors are not fearful enough.
Well, yeah, that's interesting, Sherrod, because he mentioned that investors are too complacent about looming market risk, while at the same time disclosing its main performance gauge for the last 2 years fell for the second straight year. So its annualized returns really fell from 4% to 3.7% in the 20 years ending March 31st. Now, as part of that, what are the things three things he cautioned investors about is really policy uncertainty. Now it's very, very high. There are unresolved economic balances, and there's actually very low actual equity price volatility. So, Han, what do you make of that?
Well, just be clear here, that 30 basis point decline in their annualized return, that's calculated over a 20-year period. So it actually excludes the rally that they saw in 1997, all right? So because of that, hence you got that 30 basis point decline in the return. So that's number one. Secondly, in terms of, say, the comments about investors not being fearful enough, GIC is essentially echoing what the Fed is saying. And they say, look at the VIX, that's the volatility index, because last month, the VIX was basically at about half of its historical advantage. Yet at the same time, you got the S&P 500, your US equity is just hitting record highs after record highs. You know, we've been seeing that trend over the last few months or so. So, you know, this appears to send some cautionary notes towards not just the GIC, but also the Fed. You recall recently, Janet Yellen spoke about how asset valuation are somewhat rich, so it's a bit too calm for comfort here. Hence, GIC is sending a cautionary note, telling investors, "Hey, you got to really sit up and take notice here."
Right. We're also hearing a similar sorts of sentiments coming out of, say, Deutsche Bank AG.
Yes, in fact, Masahiro Masuoka, who is the chief economist of Deutsche Bank's Japanese unit, also cautioned about frothy valuation of equity markets throughout the world. One of the key indicators of that is really the PE ratios have increased steadily after the global financial crisis in 2008. And of course, the waves of monetary stimulus has essentially pushed down yields on safe assets, prompting investors to go yield hunting around the world for risky assets.
And then what makes you think, for, I guess, retail investors, perhaps those listening right now, just average mom and pop investors like us, when we see what GIC is doing and the kind of concerns that they have right now. I mean, keep in mind, these guys are touted to be some of the smartest minds in Singapore. I mean, according to Sovereign Wealth Center, which is a London-based entity, they estimate that GIC manages or have holdings of over $350 billion worth of assets. This will make them the world's fifth biggest state fund. They're making comments about.
I'm from Johor Bahru, and we've always had we've not always drunk the Kool-Aid on the Singaporean Kool-Aid. So I just want to put that out there. Brian, you're also from JB.
Yes, I'm also from JB. And interesting enough, let's not drink the Singapore Kool-Aid and look at real returns. The actual real returns is only 3.7%. I think that's shockingly low. You could beat that on an index fund.
Okay, moving on. More aspirations coming from this side of the causeway. Prime Minister Datuk Sri Najib Tun Razak said Malaysia Airlines Berhad is expected to report profits in 2018. That's next year, as the company's five-year restructuring plan is on track. Can we just have a listen to what the Prime Minister has to say?
The history of MAS was fraught with, I would say, horrendous decisions in the past. I'm not going down that route, but that was a nightmare that was inflicted upon MAS. That was done by one of my predecessors. But I will put it right. I will make sure MAS will recover and become one of the leading airlines in the world.
That was the Prime Minister, Dato Sri Najib Tun Razak. Of course, not naming the predecessor. And I think perhaps to add to the sense of politeness, we won't name him either.
No points for speculation there. But given the timeline of Malaysia Airlines hopefully reporting profits or returning to profitability by 2018, that appears to be a slight slippage from the initial timeline. Now, if you go back to August 2014, when Khazanah released the 12-point mass recovery plan, initially they had wanted Malaysian Airlines to achieve profitability by the end of this year, the end of 2017, and there'll be 3 years since its delisting. You know, but you know, it looks like that that milestone is, or at least that deadline rather, has been a push back slightly to 2018.
I think we have to give them a little bit of leeway as well. They've had to suffer two tragedies that they had to recover from. On top of that, intense competition with Malindo Air and especially Air Asia. But I think that the growth story and the turnaround story seems to be bearing fruit. They're adding new routes. They've cut old, unprofitable routes. And Peter Bellew says they're well on track to achieving 2018 profitability.
And not to mention the 6,000 or so job cuts that Malaysia Airlines saw in a couple of years ago or so. But looking forward, though, at least according, if you're going to stick to that Khazanah turnaround plan for Malaysia Airlines, between, say, 2018 to 2020, they expect Malaysia Airlines to be relisted again. Also, we'll have to see if there could be a further slippage on that front as well.
What about the broader aviation sector? We have numbers on number of passengers and airports and such.
Well, Malaysian Airports has just released the June numbers, and it looks like it's gone up 13.5% to 7.6 million passengers, up from 6.6 million last year. So that's really in line with what we've discussed about in terms of our overall increase in tourism numbers, which have obviously impacted positively the broader economy on the ground. Tourism is supposed to contribute for the first time over 100 billion ringgit in spending for the fiscal year 2017.
And once again, I want to highlight, you know, once we are faced with these kind of hard data versus the sentiments as reflected by surveys, there appears to be this disconnect, though. We often talked, Sharad, we spoke about the optimism deficit, you know, how, you know, Malaysians, at least for urban Malaysians, you know, things are not hunky-dory, the outlook is marred. But yet, when you look at, say, the hard data, be it passenger numbers, be it GDP, be it double-digit export growth for the first 5 months of this year. You know, again, that kind of numbers doesn't necessarily translate into positive sentiment for the broader population.
Yeah, I think the argument, if you're alluding to Karim Razlan's essay in the South China Morning Post on the optimism deficit, he said, in fact, points to the contradiction between the good, I mean, the objective conditions and subjective feelings. And so, and because he's not, his hard data is, in fact, continued social and political conflict in this country.
Yet, according to MEHB's numbers, there enough passengers out there with the means to go on these
taking
flights.
Flight. Taking flight. We're coming up to the top of the hour because we'll have the bulletin. We'll be back with the opening numbers in the stock market. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.